had fanned the bitter embers of memory into a flame. How often had he and his wife planned the trip? They had talked of it for years. It was to have been the honeymoon they never had. Ellie's uncle, a Greek importer, had left her a legacy of some $9,000. But each year something new arose to prevent their taking the trip. And during those years, their great fear was that the money would be spent for necessary groceries instead of the purpose for which it was intended. When at last Michael had written his way into a respectable bank balance, the plans for the trip began to take real form, then exploded in an automobile accident in the fog on the Golden Gate Bridge. Ellie had been killed instantly. It took more than a year for Morrison to find life again. There were the first months of guilt, of utter despondency, loneliness, and fear of sleep because of the nightmares. Then came a period of self-pity and drink, and then the slow resurrection with the help of his parents and many good friends, but mainly through the love for his young son and daughter. He would have left the money in Greece for many more years. The idea of coming to Greece without Ellie repelled him. But this was April of 1941, and the floodgates had opened. In the north, the invasion had begun. His bank and agent advised him to claim the inheritance as quickly as possible, as the European situation was becoming more and more uncertain. And so, the quick trip to Athens. Morrison wanted desperately to return to San Francisco. It was no honeymoon without the bride. "Petrarchy 17," he told the cab driver, and they whisked away toward Athens. Now, nearly everyone in Athens had a relative in America, and this driver was no exception. In this particular case, it was a brother in Cleveland. After Morrison assured the fellow that he had never been to Cleveland, but would certainly look up the man's brother if he ever got there, the conversation switched to the more pressing subject of the moment. Everything hinged these days on the ability of the newly arrived British Expeditionary Force to halt the German advance in the northern provinces. Only last winter, the little Greek army had run the Italians from the country, and the cab driver reasoned that if the Greeks could beat the Italians, surely the British would stop the Germans. Besides, the driver added for good measure, America would soon be in the war. Morrison wasn't too sure of that. First, there was a big ocean, and second, in the spring of 1941, most Americans felt there was no reason to become involved in this thing. Of course, Mike Morrison had no sympathy for Hitler. It was just, well, the type of thing the Europeans had been carrying on for centuries. It simply wasn't America's affair. He wondered about the British stopping the German advance. The Germans owned a copyright on warfare called Blitzkrieg, which had a way of crushing all opposition. And there was the undercurrent of nervous laughter all around him, which seemed to imply that the British were in for a pasting. The driver shifted his attention from politics and war to locomoting his vehicle through the congested area around Kifisia and Alexandra streets. The traffic made him even angrier than the thought of the German army in the north. The shops were filled, and, as in any cosmopolitan city, the citizens walked with that brisk and wonderful air of being in a hurry. But beneath the external signs of normalcy, one could sense the tension, doubt, and fear. British uniforms were in evidence everywhere. Young Greek males were nowhere to be seen. They were all up north or on the Albanian front. It was obvious to Mike that the enchanting Greek women were giving their British saviors a welcome in the best tradition. Nothing was too good for Johnny, who had come to do combat with Jerry and drive him from the country. As the cab moved south, they could hear the distant wail of the air raid sirens. The Stukas would be coming into work over the docks at Piraeus, where the BEF was unloading. The British camps outside Athens were getting bombed heavily, too. Morrison reckoned the Germans were kept well informed from within Athens, and that the British had better get some planes in the air if they were going to make a show of it at all. The cab came to a halt in front of the outsized Yellowstone house at Petrarchy 17. Morrison